has been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Tuesday. It's Tuesday already. That's the good news. The bad news, it's a terrible Tuesday with pretty much the same kind of pattern here in the market. The long-duration tech stocks sell off as the 10-year breaks through its resistance level of 1.75. It's 1.83 today. It looks like it's headed to 2. To me, that would be a big move from here. But you know, it continues to whack those long duration stocks, and we have undertaken massive action here as a firm prior to this. You know, we started weeks ago, so at least we're better positioned. We still have more to do, but right now we've got the Dow down 556 points. That's a 1.5% drop. And let's not forget the Dow has quite a bit of exposure to the tech sector with Apple, with Salesforce, with I think Intel still a member of the Dow. So the Dow taking it on the chin. The NASDAQ is actually faring a little better than the Dow. I think Goldman Sachs is impacting the Dow today to the downside. The NASDAQ's down 1.4%, down 203. It's actually improved just a little bit here. It's at 14,690. But those long-duration stocks just continue to come under heavy fire. The S&P 500 down 1.4%, 67 points. The small caps are down 1.3. Guess what? Oil up again today. It's the sector of the day once again. Closing on $84 per barrel. Gold just can't get a lift. It's at 1818. The 10-year, the big story of the day, 1.82%. We've come down 1 basis point since this all started this morning. And last but not least, Bitcoin is down $1,100 per coin. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson and chartered financial analyst Barry Kite, who, you know, understands, along with myself, the underpinnings of what is going on here that we've been warning you about now for quite some time. And Barry, the pattern is just continuing here. I think that without any virus reinfection and Omicron running its course, I don't see any stopping to rising interest rates here for a while, at least. You know, that's what was holding interest rates down when we had this first jump in interest rates almost a year ago now. We went up to 1.75. That became the resistance level. And then the resistance to Delta was not good, and along came another, you know, massive infection of the COVID across the globe, and the Fed stayed put. Okay, that was the good news, but the market took interest rates higher. And then when the Omicron or the Delta came along, the market took interest rates lower because they parked in a safe investment like the bonds as, you know, worries about lockdowns continued. And I think probably the Fed increased their buying of bonds when Delta fired up about a year ago. But now here we are a year later. We've already had the Fed announce their course of at least 3 interest rate hikes this year. I think there's going to be more. And now with Omicron disappearing, not disappearing completely yet, but it looks like we're going to have some clear sailing for a while.
Yeah, impact. Really, I think is, you know, I think you know, using the, I think the impact of Omicron is going to be much less on the economy than previously worried. So
that drives up demand for everything, including oil, including gasoline. I see no stopping rising oil prices. I see no stopping inflation right now. I see no stopping interest rates rising. So how do you play this? Well, I mean, I'll tell you, our playbook is we are short with ETFs, the long duration area of the market. I mean, the very epitome of long duration stocks is ARK Funds, her flagship fund. And we obviously own SARK, S-A-R-K. We wrote a big article about it last week, which kind of got buried over the weekend, but more people should have read that. We had the number one article earlier in the week last week. We explained exactly why these long duration stocks and ARK flagship fund in particular were sinking, because they're very sensitive to rising interest rates. Now, the good news is I updated my macro outlook over the weekend in the newsletter. I still think that the S&P 500 can hit new highs this year, but it's not going to be the long-duration tech stocks that do it. Be more likely the oil and gas, the natural resources stocks, and the banks, the regional banks that will do that for the S&P 500. So right now we're going through a very turbulent. Is it fair to say topsy-turvy from the year 2020, Barry, where you had the long-duration stocks were all the rage? And now here we are. They're fleeing the long-duration stocks, right?
Yeah,
right?
And it's happened rapidly. I mean, you look at touched on it already, but on the very if you look back at, you know, first quarter of last year, very similar in terms of how quickly those rates moved and what the impact was. Of course, as you said, it didn't stick. But I mean, it's a you know, mirror image essentially of what happened at that point. So. The Fed has the will to make it stick this time, I believe.
Yeah, and you know, Barry, all those stocks that we were buying last February in anticipation of, we didn't anticipate the Delta, variation. All those stocks that we were buying last February, they are just flying right now. Deer, you know. The Dow and the oil stocks and
Nucor,
the banks. We own,
yeah,
we own
stocks,
regional, so. Financial, and now those are the stock. Of course, we're back in them now. We were just a little bit early because an unexpected event happened in Delta. And then, of course, Omicron hit. We had to kind of watch and see what that was going to do. And luckily, it's milder than expected. It's running its course very, very quickly. And it may have a very good impact on, making us, immunized from further variants. We'll see. But there just doesn't seem to be another wave right now, right behind this one, which means there's really nothing to stop interest rates from rising right now. There's really nothing to stop oil prices from rising right now. And there's really nothing to stop inflation right now. So you've got to be on the right side of the market, on the right side of the street. Here was something disturbing on Friday that I think this came in after our show. Consumer sentiment in January was the second lowest level in a decade. Why do you think that is, Barry?
Well, it's probably, my guess is prices, right? Where prices
inflation.
Are finally, inflation's finally catching up with folks. It's one thing at first, right? You had the fervor of people wanting to get out and, you know, go spend some money that's kind of pent up demand. But as prices, as prices continue to rise, you kind of lose that utility feeling, right, of buying. And where now
takes all the wind
matters.
Out of your sails, you know.
Yeah,
like, right. Wow, look at that ribeye steak. Holy cow, I'm going to take a loan to get that thing. And, I would not be long anything that has interest or inflation exposure. The Chipotles of the world, the McDonald's of the world, that operate on very thin margins. Heck, if the price of pickles goes up, there goes a couple cents out of their earnings on a Big Mac, you know. So that's a bad place to be. In fact, the entire retail sector, really. I mean, I don't care if it's clothes. I'm seeing cotton prices go up, transportation prices going up, shipping costs going up. So you know what? You've got to kind of be short the stocks that are in harm's way here and long the stocks that are going to benefit from rising oil prices, rising interest rates, rising inflation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a very interesting market to be in. Me, personally, I'm just glad that there's a trend. You know, the trend is your friend, and you can make money from a trend in the market. You know, this trend started to establish itself last February, then it completely fizzled out. But this time, you've got some powerful trends here to play in 2022. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Boy, there's a lot going on right now in the markets and in the world. We did get some numbers out of China over the weekend, if anybody cares. China's economy grew 8.1% in 2021 compared to a year ago. Of course, you know, you're up against an easy comparison. The story that stood out for me from China, they cut their interest rates for the first time since April 2020, so they're going the opposite way. We haven't raised our rates yet, but it seems almost inevitable. You think there's any chance at the February meeting, Barry, or are we still saying probably March?
I mean, you know, I think the way I look at it is the Fed has the will and kind of the mandate at this point, I think, to raise. So, nothing would surprise me at this point, I guess.
Yeah.
I think politically, too, right, you've got, Fed always likes to stay kind of apolitical, but in terms of you have confirmation hearings, right, this, in terms of getting these new governors, I think there's a handful of new governors to get in place. And so, I think the administration's made it apparent that, you know, they want to fight inflation because, in my opinion, that's one of the biggest deterrents in terms of the midterm elections for Democrats. My guess is all that to say that the Fed will be raising sooner than later. Put it that way.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, this was the day of our article, I believe. I don't know that we had any impact on it. Kathy Wood's ARK has its largest one-day capital outflow in 10 months. Do you know that she's already down 17% year-to-date? And last year she was down 24%. I mean, these losses, these are huge, huge losses. She still experienced its most significant one day of capital outflows in 10 months, experiencing $352 million exiting the door on Wednesday and over $500 million leaving the fund over the last 2 days. It's approaching a new 18-month low. It's now lost half. It's down 50% from its trading peak. And yet, you look at the underlying stocks like Zoom Technology, Roku, Teladoc, etc. They're going down more. I'm sorry. They're going down more. I know I had a lot of people argue with me that this is probably a good buying opportunity in those stocks. Those are long-duration stocks. Interest rates. Is it fair to say that interest rates have only started to go up here at 1.83%, Barry? We're still at historic lows here.
Right, correct. And it's a dangerous feedback loop for any ETF in that situation, but for ARK, they're get redemptions, which requires her to sell things, right, to generate cash to go ahead and pay out those shareholders. And so essentially, you know, she's driving, as she's selling those shares, it's driving the price of those underlying companies further down. So then not only, you know, essentially she continues to sell into weakness as those redemptions occur. And so that's where the biggest problem is. And yeah, I mean, we're still on the front end of this cycle, right? I mean, we're at, like you said, we're at 1.8. I mean, we could easily, you know, a lot of folks were, you know, assuming, you know, around 2.15, you know, were a lot of the estimates at one point in time, probably a touch higher now, potentially. But, you know, like you said, we're at 1.8, so we got a ways to go.
Definitely. I see 2 in sight fairly quickly. And now, look, this applies to people with 401ks. I've got to get back to, I have a friend, my son-in-law's friend, they went through dental school together, and now he's a new dentist. My son-in-law's a dentist, and his friend is a dentist, and he wrote to me, said, "Hey, Bill, I know this is your wheelhouse. What would you be investing in right now? Our company has a, you know, like a 401k or profit-sharing plan," and he ran some ETFs by me, and they were all growth ETFs. I haven't had a chance to write back to him. This is a environment that greatly favors value. Okay. And we haven't been in this environment for a long, long time. By nature, their nature, value ETFs are mostly short term in duration. They're stocks that are making money now, today, not out there on the come somewhere. You know, they're making money now. And even better yet, small cap value dividend ETF, mid cap value dividend ETF, large cap value dividend, because the dividend even makes them more short term in nature. So if you're still out there on the cutting edge with your technology funds, now if you're 32 years old, that might be different. But if you're nearing retirement in your late 50s, mid 60s, man, I would just be taking a hard look at the value funds that are offered in your 401k. I've seen a cycle when after the 2000 crash, I saw a very similar cycle. Value was the way to go for several years. And I don't care if it's large cap value, mid cap value. Now, large cap growth has led the market for a long time, the FANG stocks and whatnot. But now you've got Chevron leading the market, Barry. Look at the leaders in the S&P 500 today. Freeport-McMoRan, the number one gainer. We've been talking about that. Cleveland-Cliffs. You've got Occidental Petroleum, Murphy Oil and Gas, Devon Energy, which we own, Marathon
Nutrien.
Oil.
Nutrien,
yeah, those are the
leading. 1.2% today. That's a fertilizer stock.
Okay, these are all by nature value stocks. What's the difference between a value and growth stock? In its simplest terms, the P.E. ratio. Now, you could go further into the price-to-sales ratio. That's also critical here, too. Those two are probably the most important ratios that we look at. You know, high P.E. stocks, not a place to be. High P.E. growth ETFs, not a place to be. And this rotation continues to take place, and it has not played out. It is not too late, because we feel that interest rates have quite a bit further to go. Speaking of value stocks and the energy stocks leading the S&P 500, Brent oil hits a 7-year high. That's, you know, from over across the pond, supporting energy ETFs. What's the number one performing sector in the market this year? Just look at the app and look at the leading sectors in the market right now. They're value sectors. They're low P.E. sectors. I don't see anything stopping oil prices right now, unless there's another bug that comes along. But so far, there's not one out there. Now, it is a two-edged sword, Barry, because they're starting to – U.S. rig count surges by 13, up 61% from a year ago. So they're trying to catch up, and eventually supply does catch up with demand, and those prices start to moderate. But for right now, I think they're behind the curve on the supply, and the demand is powerful right now. Like I say, there's some trends to play here in 2022. We'll be right back. back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, nothing's really changed. Dow's still down 517 here. The S&P's down 63, down about 1.4% in the market here today. NASDAQ down 1.45%. We have several inverse ETFs at work right now. They're working today. We've tried to teach over the years about the inverse ETFs and how they can be used at times like this. It's just another tool in the toolkit. They weren't around in 2000, you know, when the NASDAQ went down 80%, the dot-com bubble burst, but they are around now and plentiful. You have to be a little careful. Some of them don't trade that many shares. I stay in the ones that trade, you know, a lot of shares, so they're liquid to get in and out of. Some of them are leveraged. You have to be a little bit careful with that. You know, we're picking on, for instance, the biotech sector, which is the very, if you put out a spectrum of long-term stocks, short-term stocks, biotech's way out there on the long-term spectrum, and they're getting whacked. So we have, actually, we have a leveraged biotech inverse ETF. We have, you know, inverse ARK ETF and others, okay? You get our newsletter. You can look at all of what we've put to work here in our portfolios. I don't know how many people, I don't know how many money managers across America even know about it, let alone use them. I know that, I doubt very much, Barry, that the big firms, the wirehouse firms, are even allowed to use them. Okay, that's why I never went to work for a big firm, me personally. I like my independence. I like my I'm unconstrained. You know, I look for trends to make money in. But job number one is to protect. Okay, we're in protection mode right now. That's number one, to warn you. I mean, you're at serious risk if interest rates continue to go higher and you're in emerging growth stocks, ultra growth stocks, long duration bond funds, really bond funds of any kind. I think the 2-year went over 1% for the first time in a long time this morning. So the bond
first time in 2 years.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's short-term interest rates.
That's pre-COVID.
Yeah. So I mean, if you have risk in bond funds, you have risk in international emerging market funds, you have risk in any kind of growth funds, etc. So anyways, I mean, we employ what we have to when the time is right. If nobody's doing anything, which is generally the case, okay, across our industry, Barry, I've been in it now for 22 years, 23 years, nobody's doing nothing. They're not actively managing the portfolios. I suppose a very widely diversified, allocation, asset allocation is probably holding up better than the rest. But if you're tilted towards growth, that's trouble right now. So anyways, it is what it is. And, you know, you go where you want to go, do what you want to do. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST. You can get my newsletter. We've been writing about this for weeks. It started over a year ago, warning what was going to happen when interest rates started to go up. The newsletter went out Saturday late morning, early afternoon. You can get it, 2 free copies at GundersonCapital.com. All right, now let's take a look at what else is happening here today. This is a disturbing story. 5G, I don't know if you've read anything about this. The airline industry is warning about catastrophic aviation crisis, where it would mess up their signals once they're up in the air, of talking to one another.
that yeah, and certainly
It's good.
Kind of a scare. To me, I look at it as almost the thing is someone's got to pay to revamp these, revamp the planes. I mean, a lot of times it's as easy as I was reading something. It's almost as easy as just putting, you know, tinfoil over a particular sensor, right, which will protect it. Like, I mean, it's the thing is the airline industry, right, somebody either the cell phone company or, you know, or the airline, right, is going to pay for whatever fix that they need to do on each plane. And so a lot of this is back and forth is really, you know, of course it's part it's safety, but in, but they're really concerned about is who's going to pay to fix it.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're going to have to ground airlines or something has to give here. And, of course, our transportation secretary, Pete Buttigieg, Mayor Pete, this is his avenue, and he's written a letter to the 5G companies. It's surprising to me that 5G has come this far. It's been developed for years and years and years, and that this was never taken into consideration.
Well, the thing is it's been kind of a tic-tac back and forth. Put it this way, Europe has a lot of 5G, and they don't have the problem, right? And it's because, you know, because they mitigated it with whatever, you know, whatever the fix is on the plane. But somebody's got to pay for it. Right, yes.
All right.
That's kind
well,
of what we're, where we're at. And,
okay. Normally, I wouldn't talk.
You gotta follow the money, as usual.
Yeah, yeah. Normally, I wouldn't talk about a SPAC coming, but Chamath, he's got a hard name to pronounce, Polyhapatia. I mean, he's got a lot of companies out there, including SoFi, which is Rams, L.A. Rams Stadium, who won their playoff game. But he made news. He also owns the Golden – he's one of the owners of the Golden State Warriors, and he made – they showed him making the comment that he could care less about the Uyghur Muslims in China. That didn't go over too well.
Right.
And, you know, we've seen some films on different outlets about what they're doing to those people. And he's kind of walking that back right now. But he's got about six or seven SPACs, and he's got another one going out there today. Okay, Goldman Sachs chief commodity strategist. He says he highlighted the current energy shortage. He says, now this guy's name is, he's their chief commodity strategist for Goldman Sachs. I can't find his name here. Jeff. He says there's an energy shortage everywhere in the world. He thinks the weather is the only thing standing between the status quo and a humanitarian crisis in Europe. A humanitarian crisis! In addition to the risk of a humanitarian crisis, Mr. Curry's clients say that the Europe's economy is now dependent on whether or not the wind blows. You don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. That was the saying in my day, Mr. Bob Dylan. I mean, if the wind's not blowing, they got problems over there. He indicates that the current energy transition is the first in human history where civilization is attempting to transition from a lower waste, higher density fuel, oil and gas, to a higher waste, lower density fuel, wind and solar. Conversely, he notes that nuclear is the lowest waste, highest density fuel known to man. And that sustained high energy costs will drive popular opinion to shift in favor of nuclear. Well, we'll see, because Germany is totally against nuclear. France is for nuclear. But anyways, there's money to be made in the energy sector. What can I say? He also says that it's going to take a long time. We're running two parallel systems. The old carbon-based economy while trying to build a new low-carbon economy. There's going to be a very bumpy transition. All right, now, guess who's getting ready to roll out? Tim Cook is saying that the cars that they're going to roll out are the mother of all artificial intelligence progress projects. He said the tech giant continues to be focused on an autonomous system for vehicles. You would just think that Apple would be a formidable player in this electric vehicle space. Apple is getting closer and closer to launching its own Audible deal, perhaps as soon as 2025. So, well, okay, it's still a few years out there. And then you get to the grid, the energy grid, and the impact. You know, it's like this 5G. Well, we never thought about that. Do you know how much electricity is going to be needed here in the U.S. in coming years as we transform over? One last thing. Guess who's a new player in the EV sector? Winnebago. Winnebago. All electric concept motorhome. You can go around the block before it runs out of electricity. No, I don't know what the range is, but Winnebago, a new player. Okay, some stocks jumping off the page when we come back. To the final segment of today's show, where the pattern continues in the market. The patterns, the trends are rising interest rates. We think they have quite a bit further to go. Really, there's nothing to stop them right now as they've broken through that 1.75 range. So now, what does well in a rising interest rate environment, number one? Number one is, get out of the way of the freight train coming around the track, which is already mowed over. The ARC funds, it's mowed over a lot of other of the transformational funds, the biotech stocks, the biotech funds. It's mowed over Bitcoin, which obviously is showing its true colors. It's a risk asset. A risk asset doesn't do well in a rising interest rate environment. A low-risk asset thrives in a rising interest, because that's where people park their money. And we're seeing it's low tide right now. As interest rates rise, it's low tide. It exposes where the oyster beds are, and it also exposes where the pits and the problems are to avoid in the market. And I take a look at my database every day of almost 6,000 stocks. And I look at, what's up year to date, what's down year to date. And I just, here's a good example. You go ARC FinTech down 14% year to date. ARC Genomics down 16% year to date. Then you go and say, well, look at Freeport-McMoRan. Freeport-McMoRan, let's just see how much it's up year to date here. Freeport-McMoRan is going exactly, it's up 6% year to date. It was up 60% last year, and it was up 98% the year before that. No wonder it's ranked number 29 overall in our Best Stocks Now app. Now, here's three stocks that jump off the page at me today. Number one, you know what the top financial, or whatever you want to call it, stock was last week? Trump's recent SPAC, and guess what? It's up 14% again today, Digital World, DWAC. I mean, I brought this thing to your attention the day it went public. It was trading around 12 or 13 a share. It went to 175. Now it's settled in at 180, at about $81 a share. Doesn't matter whether you're for him or against him, hit the SPAC is, or the stock is one of the top performing stocks in the entire market. DWAC, Digital World, DWAC. And I think it's Devin Nunes that has been hired as the CEO of that stock. Now, the reason it jumps off the page today, Barry, it's up 14%. The market's down 1.5 and it's traded six times normal volume. All right, number two. Freeport-McMoRan, the aforementioned Freeport-McMoRan. Look at that chart. That's just a beautiful thing. FCX, okay, basic materials, the necessities of life. You know, the commodities guy at Goldman Sachs, I didn't read the part of his article where he said copper is the new oil. And I don't know what his thinking was or his reasoning was behind that. But I saw him make the statement that copper is the new oil. I guess there's a shortage of it all of a sudden. You've got the economies of the world kind of coming back here. China was up 1.1%. Copper has always been associated with, you know, economy. And, of course, you've got all of the restrictions on the mining and everything like this. But Freeport-McMoRan, FCX, is breaking out. It's up 3.1% today on a day when the market's getting clogged. It's like we've been saying, Barry, there's a sunny side of the street where you kind of have to take your jacket off and your sweater and put a little suntan lotion on. The other side of the street is like New York City a few days ago.
Yeah, get your coat. Yeah,
get your mucklucks on and your winter coat and buckle down, hunker down, you know. It's just it's the tale of two stocks, or two stock markets here. It was no different in 2020, okay? The sunny side of the street was the the SPACs and the Teladocs, the work from home stocks, the Bitcoin miners, while Freeport-McMoRan had a good year that year, but the oil stocks certainly didn't. They saw negative prices. That was probably one of the best buys of all time when oil went negative for a day on that fateful day about a year or two. I don't know how long ago it was. Crazy times that we live in. There's one other one here. I got to continue to mention Devon Energy, which the oil stocks are coming back to earth just a little bit here right now. But Devon is still hitting a new high. A lot of exposure to natural gas out of Oklahoma City. And, of course, a big dividend yield. On the stock, too, which just makes it a short-term duration stock. Well, Barry is set to talk to folks. We have an appointment setter, good old Edie, who does a fantastic job. If you call to get the newsletter and would like to talk with us, Edie gets an appointment set up with you. I'm doing a tele-workshop tomorrow for the AAII Club down in Sarasota. I think you have to be a member to see that presentation that I'm going to give from my home office here in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. But Barry's been talking to a lot of people recently. They're mad on the one hand because their guy or gal's not doing anything, or they've gotten themselves in trouble by continuing to do what used to work that's not working anymore. He's available for a consultation as a chartered financial analyst and a certified financial planner. Who would you rather talk to right now, a salesman from Merrill Lynch? Yeah, it's up to you. Anyways, and I'm writing the newsletter. Maybe we'll have a new article out later, a little bit later this week. I've got one in my head. Might cobble it together here in this holiday-shortened week. I'll be going through everything I own today. There may be a few more that I got to let go of. Barry, when you look at what I've sold and what they've done since I sold them, they continue to get murdered. I mean, right. We would be in horrible shape. So you got to have a defense. You can't have the offense on the field all the time. This is Bill Gunderson, Barry Kites, the Best Stocks Now Show, GundersonCapital.com or 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.